Good evening, everyone. We're going to start tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council. I ask that we all rise for the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enid.
Here.
Ms. Pujatak.
Present.
Ms. Leone.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm and Mr. Cologne.
Present. Councilwoman Wilhelm will not be joining us this evening as she is on a trip. Moving on to the approval of minutes from the July 18, 2023 meeting. Any comments on the minutes? Minutes are approved. Moving on to our public comments. This is for any subject not being voted on tonight. And we'll start with those who signed up with a 5-minute time limit. I'll go in order. Our first person signed up is Jim Fallweiler.
Good evening, Jim Fallweiler, 2222 Main Street. On tomorrow's hard meeting agenda is our parking authority's proposed demolition of the 33 Walnut Street parking garage. It appears that this most significant project ever since the creation of the historic district with residential business and visitor impacts has not been fully vetted and is trying to be quietly slipped through the process without true public engagement. Throughout the process, I fully expect several government paid-for reports or findings will try to minimize any of these concerns. The proposal only covers the existing garage demolition. If not addressed by the HARB, council should ask some questions. First, how did this parking facility come into such a state of disrepair? Much of the needed ongoing maintenance requirements appear to be superficial and not structural. Has the BPA been derelict for not providing proper maintenance over time? Second, how can any replacement garage contain a reduction of parking spaces? Any downtown issues discussion always involves a need for additional parking. With the proposed mixed-use development of the remainder of the site, along with other apartments being constructed and an increase in tourism, due to an anticipated World Heritage Site designation, how can the Parking Authority legitimately propose a new garage with less parking at such a key central location? This does not even address surge requirements for major events throughout the city. This makes absolutely no sense. Third, the mission of the BPA is to support the growth and development of the city by efficiently managing and administrating parking resources, not to lead or manage other economic development. If selling off part of the property for redevelopment, the BPA's only responsibility should be to sell that property and not act as an independent intermediary for any other project. Any future buyers of that property should purchase it and develop it following the city's processes like any other entity. Fourth, where are the environmental impact studies in the demolition proposal, and what is the impact as evaluated by the city's climate action plan? Is the dust control plan enough, or does this project get a pass? And finally, the most important critical item for the project, what is the parking mitigation plan for the current permit holders, the Market Street condo owners, other downtown residents, workers, and visitors. While we rush toward demolition, does the BPA have adequate resources in place to mitigate such a significant and temporary multi-year loss of parking downtown? Are they going to use the North Street garage, create a temporary lot between Spring and West Lehigh Streets, utilize the West Lehigh and Sand Island lots, or will they target privately controlled facilities such as the Bethlehem Museums and Historic Sites Spring Street managed parking lot? We have seen what they have done with the St. John's parking lot through that sale and process, threatening eminent domain to seize that lot. What undue influence, leverage, and threats are going on now with any entity affected by or opposing this current Wall Street parking garage plan? Unfortunately, many appear to be forced into silence for fear of retribution or retaliation. This entire Wall Street parking garage proposal demands thorough and deliberate analysis with transparency for public review and comment. I have two recommendations. First, create a multi-year pause in the garage replacement plan in order to provide proper public debate and impact analysis of the anticipated game-changing World Heritage Site designation, along with analyzing the parking impacts from other ongoing downtown apartment construction projects. Second, only approve a demolition plan that includes a documented and publicly debated parking mitigation plan, along with any environmental impact studies. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fallweiler. Our next speaker signed up this evening is Peg Church.
Yes, good evening, Peg Church, 435 Brighton Street, Bethlehem. I thank you for your time and attention tonight. I also want to thank the Bethlehem Engineering Department for repairing the hazardous railing at the 3rd Street ramp. I mentioned that a few months ago when I was here before, and it's great that that was able to be fixed after quite a period of time, but it is done. I'm here to speak a bit, as I did a few months ago, about the city and feasibility, reviewing possible quiet zone. And I'm sure that it is in process. And I will be happy to add information to the topic, as I will tonight. Attached to some of the council members and Mayor Reynolds, 9 days ago, Anthony Salome had an article on the front page of the Morning Call about the possibility of a quiet zone, and he covered a lot of territory. It might be helpful to those who are involved in the process. But it is also noted, I've also noted on the back of your material about the Lehigh Valley being one of the third, part of the third noisiest area in the entire country. So you've got a very noisy area. This is from Forbes study, Forbes study that has more detail on that. So we have some noise going on here. When the trains come along, they are to start at decibel levels of 85 to 110. But they are routinely over that 120 upwards. Perhaps I should bring in a sample, a sound sample. We can arrange that if you would like in the future, because they are definitely more than 110. Interesting about that is the American Speech Language Hearing Association puts 85 plus decibels at harmful levels. So all it does is for them to come and even start, and it's harmful, the noise they are producing. Of course, it's 24/7. Also in the article, front page article, it speaks to the cardio effects on people. And a new report came out June 27th, very recently, a study by the American College of Cardiology found that heart attack rate was 72% higher in state areas with the highest level of noise pollution. Our area. Pair that with June's achievement of highest air particulate pollution in the country. We set new records in the country in June, upwards of around 500 parts per million of particulates. So we are in the mud with noise and air quality. Back to quiet zones. Bethlehem, around Riverside Drive there, we have a gate, we have lights. There were Jersey barriers, 4, 5, 6 of them a number of years ago. They're not no longer there. I do notice that there are 14 Jersey barriers just off 378th Street in the direction of heading towards Central Raven Church. They're available for when there are festivals. Maybe they could come in handy with a quiet zone too. The city can work perhaps with Connor Spielmaker of Norfolk Southern, who is their spokesperson and says they can help communities obtain help, including funding, as they offer incentives. So I'm sure this is something the city's been exploring, getting actual help from NS. Terrific. Now, Kevin Eitzenberger had obtained around 200 signatures from our area about Silent Nights in Bethlehem. That was about 10 years ago, he states. No traction on that, no response. Jordan Anario, who's featured on the page, in the picture here and so forth, he spent a few years trying to communicate with Bethlehem on this topic, no traction. I hope we can move forward. So I thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Our next speaker signed up, Eddie Rodriguez.
Eddie Rodriguez, 13th Avenue, 336 13th Avenue, Bethlehem, 18018. I came here tonight like I did the last time and I presented something about skateboarding. That's no longer the case. I have no interest in that. I just want that noted. The interest that I have now is that of a splash park. I'm also getting it out now. Splash park for 12 years and under in that same vicinity, behind the Meadows and the pharmacy, behind the Stepco Boulevard parking lot. Of course, you're going to need funding and find out who the owner is and the water installation and all that, but it's a pretty darn good site. I have parents that are very, very interested in this. I got the kids jumping up and down. They're interested, of course. They want to see it happen. Now, I didn't want anything with skateboarding in that site. It's not my decision to make because we're going to have the same trouble that Pembroke has, and that's drugs and hangouts and gangs and so on and so forth. Moving on, in the parking lot, there's skateboarders running up and down. I presented this before, up and down those stores. I've asked Chief Cott to maybe have one or two officers check it out on each shift, particularly the morning and middle shift. It's getting out of hand. They don't respect, you know, the people that are going in and out of those stores. That parking lot needs peace of mind. And they're by the Meadows also, and it's a bad, bad situation. You got 6, 7 to 10 kids. If any of you used the last meeting that I was in, when I left, there was a reason why I left. But if you, I don't know whether skateboarders were there in that front there. There was about 6 or 7 of them there. I'm hopeful that any of you might have seen that. This is what's happening in the city of Bethlehem. Of course, you have to find out who owns that site. I've been trying to find out myself, and I cannot find anybody that would tell me a darn thing. I tried Livingston, I tried the city. I can't find out anything about that. Whether it's my business to know about this, I make it my interest and my business because I really want to see it happen. Like I said, I have folks that are interested in this, and we're going to go around and petition that whole entire community area, and hopefully this could happen in the near future. Last but not least, I've asked also Chief Cott to not say anything in reference to meeting up with the individual that has complete videos of all, not one left out, of all the persons that are dumping their vehicles, make, year, model, the whole, everything. Anything that they're dumping, they are there. License plates, the whole thing on video. The only person that will be handled through is Chief Cott, no one else. And that person will stay completely silent and out of it. That's the only way this is going to happen. So I've spoken with Chief Cott, and she's on board with this. So I would arrange a meeting and then let her decide. I will not be at this meeting with this individual, but it's going to happen. Because the individual is sick and tired of paying a bill, like all of them, and yet, if you go to that site right now, it is dumped on big time, especially with huge, enormous furniture. Half of that, where you're sitting at right there, is all furniture. And all three are dumped on. The property owner has taken care of his end of it from the kindness of his heart and is paying for all this twice a week. But it's still happening. And I need something to happen today, yesterday, because this cannot go on. There is a camera there and from clothing and shoe, but it's not enough. Something has to be done. Because this goes on daily, and I've been traveling that area, and hopefully that I can catch somebody and report it to the police. I have not caught anybody yet from a different angle, way on the other side where I can see everything happening. But the video, you have it, Chief Cott, you got a golden opportunity. I want these people to be taken to the alderman, and I'm also asking the city to increase the fines for dumping. So this will scare off and hopefully prevent something from happening in the near future also. Increase the fines. That's what I'm asking. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Our next speaker signed up, Mr. Paul Pondle.
My name is Paul Fondle from 413 Grandview Boulevard. I would like to address the concerns regarding the traffic at the intersection of Broad Street and Hanover Avenue and Club Avenue. We know it's a very dangerous intersection. Requesting that this intersection be studied and made safer by installing skid-resistant macadam, rumble strips, and warning signs were recommended. I mentioned the last time I was here, you know, about the problem we have there, and we would really like that to be done, even though the construction of the Hanover apartments is far away yet. We still have the problem with traffic there. And I'm going to leave it up to Terry to talk about the latest incident there. The other thing I want to discuss is the water problem we had on the alley and at the end of Grandview Boulevard, where we had that storm where it formed a lake and then it ran down the alley just like a river. And the storm system was so powerful, it popped the lids off the storm sewer, and the water was up about 3 feet. I understand that the city's doing a study on that. I don't know if you have any answer for us tonight or if we can be contacted about what they propose to do. And the second part of that is letting Allentown know that we have a problem because they have a 5-foot diameter pipe coming out of Allentown into a 4-foot diameter pipe in Bethlehem. And with that, Allentown has a lot of projects. It was just announced they're going to be doing a state hospital project. They have to have detention ponds. They can't just let all of that water coming off those properties go into a storm system that's overtaxed already. And with that, I'll turn it over to Terry.
Thank you, Mr. Fondle. And I will just say, I don't have an answer to your question, but Mr. Alcohol is here, like he typically is, our Director of Public Works, if you wanted to speak with him after the meeting. And our next speaker, as referenced, is Ms. Kloiber.
Thank you for letting me cut in line. I hope y'all are putting these into a book somewhere, these pictures. I don't know if I have enough today.
Just quick, will you share?
Okay, I'll make you short. Okay, Terry Kloiber, 345 Grandview Boulevard. Another accident. I know you're all probably pretty tired of hearing about these, just as much as we're tired of seeing them. This one here happened at Hanover Avenue, Eaton Avenue, and Broad Street at the dangerous intersection that we keep talking about. In the first picture, you're going to see a green Jeep which hit the bus. He did not yield for the bus because the yield markings on the street are no longer visible. The second picture shows him there, and if you look to the right below the bus, you'll see where there's the remnants of the yield printed on the street that's not really there. The third picture, this is the one that gets me a little nervous because the people that are sitting there, there's a gal on the curb. There was also a young child that were taken away in the ambulance after this accident. So we all know how dangerous it is, and how much more dangerous it's going to get if Bennett's lot gets filled up into apartments. When I walked by on this accident on July 19th, it was about 2:30, I didn't hear the accident. I just happened to like come around the corner, and I saw these vehicles sitting in the middle of the street. Didn't know what was going on. There were no policemen, no firemen, no nothing there yet. So I walked over and kind of figured it out just from looking at everything what happened. I don't know how many people were on the bus. Had that been a bus full and stopped, there could have been more injuries than just the young woman, the woman and the young child that were taken. Both Allentown Police and Bethlehem Police responded, and Allentown Police advised to Bethlehem that they would handle it, so Bethlehem Police left. We know the intersection needs to be looked at, and it should be looked at with both Allentown and Bethlehem, not just Allentown or Bethlehem. I think because of where it is, right on that borderline, both cities should get their departments together and talk about this and go over it. My real concern is that it may take a fatality to get something done. We've seen a lot of accidents. We've seen people being taken away in the ambulances. One of these times they'll be taken away in the coroner's car. It's only going to get worse if the apartments are built on Bennett's lot. If Banco gets developed, they are working on Banco right now. They're clearing that building out. I'm not sure what's going in there quite yet, but that's going to happen. And then again, the pending development of the state hospital property. So all of this going on prompted me to reach out to Allentown City Council via email. I inquired if there are council meetings that the public can attend, such as this, and speak freely. I mentioned that I would like to see if Allentown is aware of the danger of this intersection, and if they could refresh the painted yield signs, yield words on the street on the Allentown side. The response I received was that my request for repainting the yield words on the street was going to be forwarded to the Public Works Director along with the Traffic Engineering Department. I was also informed that I didn't need to go to a meeting to get their attention on valid issues, that an email would be sufficient. I was very appreciative of this response and felt like I really was heard on this subject. So now at the end of the day, I've been heard, but now I wait patiently to see what's going to be done. I've also brought it to Bethlehem's attention about the flashing traffic signal that is not flashing, and the sign advising of the turn in the road that are covered with stickers. The stickers are still there. Has this been forwarded to Bethlehem's Traffic Department or Public Works Department to get fixed? If it hasn't, it should be. Then yesterday, I believe it was yesterday or this morning, I'm not sure, there was an article in Lehigh Valley, our Channel 69 News, the headline read, "Plan for 317 apartments on border with Allentown goes back to Bethlehem Zoning Board on August 16th. Adding to my little thing, to which I'm hoping we get a resounding no on those variances. The plan, the, The article reads, "A plan for 317 apartments on land straddling the Bethlehem-Allentown border will go back to Bethlehem Zoning Hearing Board on August 16th. That neighborhood may be getting a bit more crowded. That scares the hell out of me. The fact that we may be getting more people between all three of these developments that are going on. Hanover Apartments development is only 7 blocks east of the Allentown State Hospital. Whatever the, I'm not reading the article anymore, sorry, I'm just saying this part of it. But it's only 7 blocks east of the Allentown State Hospital property. Depending on that, that's a master planned community is what's being proposed there by Center City Investment Corp. I don't know anything more on that. That will be disclosed on Saturday at the Eastside Youth Center. They're having a meeting from 10 to 1 in which they're going to put all the plans out. So I've no doubt that a lot of people are going to be attending that just to find out what is going on in the city. But being as all these three things are being developed and planned and whatever, something's got to be done before we do indeed have a fatality there and then possible a lawsuit or something. I mean, I would hate to see that happen. I don't want anyone to get killed there. But I think we definitely need to push this somehow to get somebody to look at this. Allentown's going to look at painting, repainting the signs. We're going to go up to Allentown's council meeting tomorrow night and see what we can find out there on their side of it. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Flavor. Our next speaker tonight is Steve Olszewski.
Good evening, Steve Olszewski from 305 Prospect Avenue in Bethlehem. I'm here tonight to thank council and especially our city's recreation department. Jody Evans and the department's done a wonderful job opening up the tennis courts at Sand Island. It's just fabulous playing there this year. For those of you that aren't tennis players, that surface is very unique. It mimics some of the best clay courts in Europe. And we get players from all over the area coming there to play. I think it's a great facility. The only drawback to it is that surface requires a little bit extra attention and cost to maintain. I'm hoping the city can find ways to continue to maintain that facility because it is an amazing gem that this city has, and I don't know how much it is valued by the city. So I'm hoping the city can find a way to keep that going. It really is a big draw for tennis fanatics like me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. Our next speaker is Victoria Bastidas.
I'm going to wait for the vote.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm going to wait for the vote.
Okay, just so you know, this would be your time to speak if you wanted to. When we get to it on the agenda.
You want to
speak on what we're voting on tonight.
Yes,
I understand.
I'm sorry.
I misunderstood. Thank you for the clarification for behind the lectern. Then Brian Lucas will be our next speaker.
Hi everyone. First off, I would like to say mazel tov to the gentleman sitting across from me for his wedding on Saturday. I feel like that's due for applause. But hi, my name is Brian, and I lived at 203 East 5th Street, 426 Fillmore Street, 102 West 4th Street, 431 Montclair Avenue, and 632 Buchanan, all within the same 2.5 year period. So I feel like I've been up here quite a bit talking about property rentals here in Bethlehem, and it's funny because now that I'm about to move away and this is my last city council meeting with which I'll be able to speak for quite a while, it's been a subject that I've been thinking a lot about. I'm about to move out of state into a new city in New Orleans, where I was surprised to see actually that rental prices were very similar to Bethlehem, yet what I would be getting in New Orleans would be a one-bedroom apartment on the 15th floor of a famous Art Deco building right on Bourbon Street, where here the same rental price will get me, just down the street on, from Lehigh campus with four roommates and maybe a different landlord. You know, and this also being my last city council meeting, I've been thinking a lot about the first time I ever came here. And I think when the subject of rent inevitably came up, because somebody like me came up and talked about it, one of the women standing across from me mentioned that renting is a perfect way to enter the community, and that it's to maybe reframe the relationship that we have with our landlords. And so I've been thinking about that sentiment of landlords being an avenue with which we can enter the community. But if you ask the next question, it's a community for who, and what barriers does that now pose for you to enter this community? The fact that I even have to talk about my address standing up here tells you that housing is fundamentally anchored towards all of your other rights as a human, and in our Constitution, it frequently talks about property ownership as being a basis with which we endow ourselves with rights. You know, and so, I mean, even to quote you, all of you guys, you know, you guys are glad that people want to move in here, that you guys are glad that people want to live here. And so we have to recognize that if the value that is being generated here from our social interactions and our behaviors, those are only being captured by increased rent prices from our landlords. You know, and so the other thing I end up hearing in response to all of this is that there's nothing that we can do. That there's nothing that we can enforce that can lower rent prices or that we can do to help alter the market. I've been doing a lot of research into the Pennsylvania Landlord-Tenant Act of 1951. I've read it in its almost entirety, and I have yet to find a specific clause that stops you from being able to put control on rent. I've read the county charter, and I've found very little provisions that mention anything about rent, actually, other than how to collect it and how frequently you can collect it, but it doesn't tell you how much you can increase or how much you cannot increase it. I've been reading a lot about Dillon's law and finding out about, or Dillon's rule, I guess, about finding out states can make appeals to the legislative authority of a state if they feel that their state constitution does not grant them the power to make such enforcement. So I would love to know, I guess, why we cannot make this a place that is affordable as well as nice. I mean, it seems like everybody wants to live here. Why can't we make that happen? In any case, I've noticed more and more that the houses are becoming owned by the same group of like three or four landlords that aren't even originally based in Bethlehem. So, you know, they can earn a passive income just by sitting while everyone else is, you know, sort of running around trying to make rent. And I don't really understand how we can just keep letting that happen. And so I guess I'll end on the note that I'd like to move back here one day. You know, like Bethlehem has been my home for the last 5 years, and I've only gone for about a year while I'm in school, and I would love to come back here one day. But I don't know that if that's even possible, given the way that I've even been priced out from house to house with very little protection from my lease, especially when it comes to students. And now having just completed, or I guess I'm about to complete an internship in Representative Samuelson's office in a week, and it's sad to see that the biggest problem that we get calls with frequently are calls about landlord-tenant issues, and that there's nothing that, or very little, I guess, that we can refer them to in the way of protection, especially for people who need it the most. You know, when you can't afford housing, you can't afford a safety net, you can't afford to raise a family, you can't afford to vote, frankly, because there are a few places that'll grant you an address that you can use even as a mailing address, and you need one even for representation here. So I'd just like you guys to think about that a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck as you continue your education down in New Orleans. Our last person who previously signed up, Alex Hirsch.
Alex Hirsch, 738 Center Street. 380 days since I've been able to legally park as a property owner. So it doesn't get you all the rights, but I would like it to. I've been gone for 5 weeks in Rhode Island. I came back for two of everybody's favorite things, dental work and the city council meeting. So managed to combine them both here. And yay. So really, that's where I'm at. I don't know if anything's changed in those 5 weeks. I confess I didn't watch the YouTube stream. It's as good as a vacation time. But my guess is not. I will renew my plea to consider an amendment to the special parking permit portion of the ordinance, which already allows for permitting of out-of-state vehicles for city residents. It's the only complication is that it's for people who work in the city today, or people who work in the city and live here temporarily, and also students. We give them permits just fine. So logistically, there's really no barrier to the provision of a residential parking permit to somebody who owns a house and lives part-time here in the city, which I've done for 28 years. Well, a year and a half of that I rented. But I've been a property owner all that time, and until recently was able to have the luxury of parking as well. So that's it. I just want to renew my plea, begging to consider that. Again, it's there in the ordinance. It'd just be a small amendment to open it up to property owners who can't demonstrate that they live in the property that they have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. That exhausts our list of everyone who has signed up in advance. So I'll go around the room. Again, this is for anything not being voted on during tonight's public comment. So I'll start to the left. Anyone who wants to make comment? Mr. Haynes.
Hi, good evening. Bruce Haynes, managing partner, Historic Hotel Bethel on 437 Main Street. I'm actually here to ask for your vote. But before I do that, I want to say, Alex, welcome back. We missed you at the last two meetings. And Peg, I've never been a champion of the silent thing, but I got to tell you, the biggest complaint we get at the hotel, quite frankly, are our guests being woken up in the middle of the night by the loud trains. So I would echo your initiative. But I'm really here to say we're in the last week of a four-week voting process. I'm not running for city council, so I'm not asking your vote for that. I'm not running for mayor, despite some rumors. And so I really am basically here to say we're down to the last week, and yesterday the website, so this is for USA Today, best historic hotel in the United States. We're two-time national champions. We won in 21, we won in 22. We were third in 19, and we were second in 20. In 20, we went to this exact same point a week before the voting ends. They don't show you the leaderboard anymore. So yesterday was the last day they showed you the leaderboard, and we're in first place. How about a big round of applause for all of you? Second place is the same, the Peabody in Memphis. And third place is the Grand Hotel in Mobile Bay, Alabama. The same three that were in those positions for the last 2 years. So I'm just saying that in 20, we were in first place going into the last week. And the city of Memphis came out strong to support the Peabody, and we came in second. So I need your help here in this last week. You just go to your iPhone and put in votehotelb.com, and you can do this. It'll take you right to the voting website. You just press vote, and hopefully, with your support, we will be a three-peat or a triple crown or a hat trick, and that's a real accomplishment, not just for the hotel. This is a big deal for Bethlehem, for the city. It's bringing tremendous attention to the city. Our bookings doubled, our website hits, the Visit Historic website hits doubled after we got number one. It gets around, and so it brings attention to the city, and with us destined for a World Heritage in a year, it ties together, and so it's great for the city, it's great for Lehigh Valley. I just ask for your support, and let's bring home a winner next week. Thank you very much.
Good luck, Mr. Haynes.
Thank you.
Is Is there anyone else to the left who wants to speak on anything that we're not voting on tonight? Turn to the wide center. Anyone who wanted to make comment on anything we're not voting on this evening? The hand behind the lectern, Mr. Shire.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. To follow up, Mr. Hirsch, it occurs to me that perchance the Bethlehem Parking Authority has a little too much authority. Tonight, I'm going to start off by referencing some previous remarks of mine in order to distinguish them from the main remarks I want to make tonight. And with some delicious links between the Chinese language and the city of Bethlehem. The previous remarks concerned the importance of home ownership in civic engagement. And I got some pushback on that, as you may remember. And now, since then, the economic professor, son of a friend of mine, has forwarded to me about a dozen links to on that issue, to academic articles. And in particular, home ownership versus voting, which you might think of as a distilled form of civic engagement. The issue I want to raise tonight is related but disconnected. And let me start with what Mr. Antalik has been talking about for some years now, namely the extent of ownership of homes on the south side by investors who presumably are interested in renting to students. But I came across an article on Yahoo News, and which is a credible source because they have their own reporters, but they also reprint things from the New York Times, and et cetera, about a lawsuit and being filed in an American city. I should have written down the name of the city. So this is just sort of a precursor to raise an alarm. Maybe I'll turn out to be Chicken Little, a large Chicken Little, or maybe I'll be the canary in the coal mine, an even larger canary. But the lawsuit concerns a group of homes in the city which are owned by a Manhattan financial firm and are being improperly maintained. In other words, they got a slumlord who comes out of New York City and behaves like a slumlord. According to the article, according to the reporter in the article, this is an emerging nationwide phenomenon, kind of like the hedge fund that bought the Morning Call. They're not particularly interested in the welfare of the community that they're invading. They just want to make as much money as they can and then end of it. So, according to this article, and if a reporter says it, it must be true. That's a little joke there. That this is a nationwide phenomenon. I don't know if that is true or not, but I think it's behooves us to start researching and see if this is indeed really happening. A local resident here told me that, not Mr. Intalik, somebody else, said that investors own 500 homes on the south side. That seems like an awfully large number, but so there you are. It's possibly an emerging issue of nationwide slumlords, or maybe it's just Chicken Little. Now, for the links between the Chinese language, my son is visiting from San Francisco, and he has his friend here from Taiwan who teaches mathematics to junior high school students in Taiwan. Her name is Yao Wen. She And I hope you'll give me a little bit of overtime, because this is delicious.
I'll try to be great.
Two connections between the Chinese language and the city of Bethlehem. The first concerns the I-beam. Now, you've all seen the Bethlehem Steel logo with an I-beam lying on its side. If you take the top part and just chip off a little bit at each end, it is then the Chinese character for work, W-O-R-K, work. Quite a connection. The other concerns the word Lehi. It turns out that Lehi exists in the Chinese language. It's two words, Li and Hai, and I know I'm not saying it properly, but Lehi. And it means roughly superior. So to a Chinese person, Lehi University becomes a superior university. And somebody said to me, maybe that accounts for the number of Chinese students at Lehi University. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Was there anyone else in the center, Mr. Antal?
I want to thank Mr. Shire for the mention. Also, you beat me to mention your son, Stephen and Salix, 77 Ridge. A goodly number of appointments and items which have appeared under the resolution section of the agenda seem to garner a 720 vote, which many people believe reflects the opinion of the community. And you can almost say that this has become an unwritten tradition, the 7-0 vote. One member of council has taken exception to the opinion that council's vote reflects the public's will. The opinion I was given by an acclaimed, well-published political scientist is as follows. Quoting, people tend to assume that elected officials represent the views of the majority of their constituents who voted for them. Usually, the candidate for elected office lays on a political platform that conveys the candidate's views so that the people know whether or not the candidate represents their own views. Whoever gets the majority of votes can then claim to hold positions that represents majority will of the people, period. A noteworthy break from tradition, from this tradition of 7-0, has been the negative vote by a council member concerning the tradition of allowing a retired police officer of purchasing their firearm. This 7-0 vote tradition has existed since the year 2010. This negative vote prompted the response of a popular local blogger, an email to me from a very concerned and well-known private citizen, whose email I will not quote, but I will change the name of the person to maintain objectivity. I listened to council members' speech on the officers purchasing their guns. I trust that they did proper research on the statistics they provided on child gun deaths. What they didn't and couldn't provide was a direct correlation between these deaths and the police buyback of service weapons. Retired police officers aren't out there gunning children, and they certainly aren't providing guns to the thugs that are. Council members' statistics were meaningless on the issue. I would like to expand on this comment. That weapon that sat on the hip of a police officer for 20 plus or minus years protected the children of Bethlehem. from harm and death. Does he now become a danger to these same children? Does that gun now become a danger to these same children if it is sold to that same officer when they become a private citizen? A no vote, no insults, retired officer by implying that they are now a hazard to best and children, that they are not carrying a weapon as a private citizen. But more importantly, it is depriving our children of the added protection of a retired professional who would continue that service as a retiree. So the question becomes, can a council member who is a public servant sacrifice personal integrity by placing their personal views secondary to the welfare of the community?
Thank you, Mr. Antalix. Is there anyone else in the center who would like to make comment on anything not being voted on tonight? So now I turn to the right. Welcome to our guests who just got here. Right now we're in the public comments section of our meeting. Mr. Caratola.
Hi, I'm Marty J. Creed Caratola, comic, magician, musician, not magician, musician, peace activist, performing artist of 813 Loffer Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I believe arts quest is against the U.S. Constitution, taking freedom of speech away from people, especially public figures like myself. Arts quest and the BPA are two businesses in our city that we need to correct, who are making us look bad in our Christless city. When businesses aren't 100% right, it's a bad reflection on us. 8 years ago, I performed a comedy show at the Banco Cinema for Arts Quest. Because I joked about the Mexican and Irish people, I was forever banned at Arts Quest and Music Fest from performing comedy or even music, even though not one of the 100 or more people in the theater walked out on me, booed, or were offended. The head of the comedy division at Arts Quest heard me use those same Mexican jokes for well over 10 years and never raised an issue on them, but when I stated about my two Irish attorneys from the law firm of Argue and Phibbs, hey, he made an issue so that I wouldn't move in on taking over his position. Or his job, I should say. I could have if I wanted to, but I got better things to do, like writing my books in my final days and being a peace activist with Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace, that's linked with the United Nations. This individual labels me a racist. I plus family members and friends have not supported Arts Quest or Music Fest since this incident, because taking away somebody's freedom of speech is un-American and against our United States Constitution. So if you're an arts quester and you believe that you're getting less attendance at Music Fest and other events because of COVID, think again. I make a good living at entertaining and holding crowds in clubs, theaters, parties, and corporate events. Before, this leader of comedy got with Arts Quest, I gave him spots to perform at many of my comedy shows that I produced that were called Girls Night Out. Although the shows were only for female comics, I let him wiggle himself into opening my shows to flounder around on stage. I didn't lose one person at his Banco Cinema Theater that night. He even stayed for my entire set and didn't pull me off stage. He could have pulled me off. He's bigger than me. He could have turned my mic off and said, "Give it up for J. Creed. We're going to keep things rolling, but we don't allow racist humor here." But he would have got booed. He should have been a magician. The last time I let him open up for my girls, he made three tables disappear. If I would have let him continue, I believe that he would have made the entire audience disappear. Many times, he comes off like he's rehearsing for a nervous breakdown. This racist has been performing Mexican restaurants for 3 to 4 hour time slots for all over the tri-state area for 10 years. And for 5 years at the Mexico Lindo restaurant in Bethlehem every second Saturday of the month from 6 until 9 plus other occasions. I'll be there the Saturday after this next Saturday. Jose, the Mexican Mono owner, who I once brought here to speak, thought my Mexican humor was funny, but ArtsQuest took my freedom of speech away. It's really funny. Is I perform corporate events in New York City for John Gotti Jr. in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn. He pays me well. He's not stingy like ArtsQuest. He supports the arts. Nobody at his events get insulted when I make jokes about the Italians or even the mob. For all I know, some may be connected. Hey, what can I say? I'm there for their amusement. I amused them. Since COVID, I did 5 shows for Gotti, as well as over a half a dozen for people who he introduced me to, and I still didn't get to be swimming with the fishes. I gladly paid that ArtsQuest individual $300 to try to do at least 15 minutes of comedy the next time I perform a John Gotti Jr. event. Let me conclude that it's amazing how individuals who didn't get past the 8th grade can organize crime in less than 1 year, but we who have years of college have a very hard time organizing cities, counties, states, and countries. But I'm proud to say that we of Bethlehem are one of the top 20 safest cities in the U.S. So let's do everything that we can to make it even better so that we can continue to be a good example to others. Let's help ArtsQuest and the BPA be all that they can be. ArtsQuest says that they need our support. Let's support them. That you shouldn't take people's freedom of speech away. I got a book coming out about my life. Their name's in it.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. Is there anyone else to the right who wanted to make comment during anything not being voted on this evening? Well, that concludes our public comments for anything not being voted on. So now we'll move on to our second courtesy of the floor tonight. This is for anything that is being voted on, and I'll start with Ms. Victoria Bastidas, who has signed up.
Good evening. Victoria Bastidas, 1311 Santino Road, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Once again, would like to thank the council and thank the mayor for your initiatives for our climate action. It is huge. I work with a lot of young kids, and they need to see hope. And what you are doing is providing hope for them. So we have a lot of little rescue, you know, nature rescue rangers at this point that are out planting trees. So if you need them, they're around. But I did want to mention on the amendments that you are making for the nature education centers, I just wanted to provide the information from the state so that you do understand why a nature education center also has to be zoned as a child care center and have that. So from the Pennsylvania code 3270.2 purpose, the purpose of this chapter is to provide standards in aid in protecting the health, safety, and rights of children and to reduce risks to children in child care centers. So basically, the reason we have to do this is because any facility that cares for a child outside of their home under the age of 15 for any part of a 24-hour day must meet their requirements, and one of those requirements is the building code. A certificate of compliance will not be granted by the department un- until the legal entity provides a certificate of occupancy as proof of compliance with the applicable requirements of the Department of Labor and Industry in 34 PA Code 403.23 relating to child daycare facilities. So it is not that nature education centers nor community centers necessarily do daycare. It's just that any time you have a child without their parents for any part of that day, the state wants to make sure that that facility is safe for that child. And that's all that this is about. So I wanted to present this to you, but I also would like to say, I cannot tell you how much it means that something positive is being done by our adults so that our children can see what's being done and they too can take positive action, because this is a very scary time for them. So thank you so much.
Thank you. So that exhausts our list of those who had previously signed up to speak on anything we're voting on tonight. So I'll go around the room. Is there anyone to the left who wants to speak on anything on the agenda tonight? Is there anyone in the center who wanted to speak on anything that we're voting on this evening? All right, turn to the right. Seeing none, we're going to continue on with tonight's meeting. Old business, any old business from members of council? Moving on to communication 6A.
July 14th, 2023, memorandum with proposed resolution from Sophia Gutierrez, Director of Financial Services, requesting the destruction of records from her department. Ms. Federulis has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the memo fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And a resolution will be placed on the August 15th City Council agenda. Communication 6B.
A July 18th, 2023 communication from Ellen Freeman, Esquire, of Flaherty and O'Hara, representing Wawa Incorporated. Wawa seeks approval for an intermunicipal transfer of Pennsylvania retail restaurant liquor license number R17711. The applicant seeks to transfer ownership of the license from PA Overlook LLC at 4285 North Delaware Drive in Mount Bethel, Northampton County, to the Wawa store being built at 770 Hellertown Road in Bethlehem, also Northampton County.
I will accept a motion and a second to schedule public hearing on this proposed intermunicipal liquor license transfer for September 5th, 2023 at 7 p.m.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Kwiatek, second by Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith. I will ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye, the motion passes 6-0, so we'll have a public hearing for Tuesday, September 5th, here at 7 p.m. Then the resolution will be placed on the council agenda for the same evening. Communication 6C.
July 17th, 2023, memorandum with proposed resolutions from Matthew J. Deschler, Assistant City Solicitor, recommending agreements with Service Electric Cable TV Incorporated. The action would authorize licenses permitting the installation of equipment on city street light poles at two intersections of West Broad and Main Streets, West Market and Main Streets, for the purpose of providing free Wi-Fi to the general public on a year-round basis. The contract will run from August 3rd, 2023 through August 3rd, 2024, with automatic annual renewals unless either party cancels in writing at least 30 days prior to the renewal.
And both resolutions 10C and 10D are on the agenda tonight. Communication 6D.
Memorandum dated July 25th, 2023 from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is Seven Sirens Brewing Company, LLC, and the event is 2023 Bethlehem Beer Fest. The agreement is from noon on September 2nd to noon on September 4th and covers Danny Rice Field and Main Street between Lehigh and Spring Streets.
And resolution 10E is on the agenda. Last communication 6E.
July 27th, 2023, memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is Christmas City Spirits, and sub-permittees are Social Still LLC, Franklin Hill Vineyards Incorporated, Eastern Wine Projects, Five Mains LLC, doing business as Five Mains Cider Company, Seven Sirens Brewing Company, LLC, Rowan Asher Winery Warehouse, LLC, doing business as RAW Winery and Hard Cidery, and Tolino Vineyards, LLC. The event is Cider Fest. The agreement is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on September 9th. The area covered is the Nevin Place right-of-way and a West Walnut Street parcel, both of which are adjacent to the Sunning Courtyard and shown on an exhibit map attached to the agreement.
And Resolution 10F is on tonight's agenda. Moving on to reports, I have nothing to report other than, again, I welcome the delegation from our German sister city, Schwäbisch Gmund, I believe. Didn't take German, but again, welcome, and I'm glad you could join us tonight. And I know you have a busy couple days here in Bethlehem, so I wish you nothing but joy and good weather while you're here.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor? So along those same lines, start out with, I just want to introduce our delegation here. It's had a long travel day coming from Frankfurt, coming into Newark, and they checked into the Hyatt Hotel, and we welcomed them at Twistall a little while ago when they had a nice welcome. But I want to just introduce them, that they are here. They may look familiar, as several of them are council members. I was going to announce them and welcome them here. We have our Mayor Arnold here with us.
Good evening.
We have Council Member Schneider.
Hello.
We have Council Member Braun. Council Member Beck. Council Member Sopp. Council Member Abel. And then we have two non-council members, but friends as well. Ms. Clayman. And Mr. Barth, who is an entrepreneur. I think I got everybody, correct? But we have a series of events here throughout the week. They picked a good time to come. Music Fest is kicking off in a couple days, but I also told them that it is a tradition that most of the council members stick around after the meeting. So if you would like to introduce yourself, talk about what it's like to be a council member here versus there. They were very, very, very committed, to, despite the long day of travel, coming to the council meeting tonight. So we want to welcome them. And I also want to just publicly thank Ms. Stein in my office and Mrs. Agella. It has been a lot of after-hours help that they don't get paid anything additional for. Last week, Mrs. Agella spent an incredible amount of time. We had some World Heritage-related festivities. And both of them obviously have just been willing to volunteer and take on a lot of those responsibilities to help out with both situations. So I just want to publicly thank them as well. And then also, obviously, in a couple days, we are kicking off with Music Fest on Friday with their opening ceremonies. I know I'll see many of you there. But I also just want to thank our city workers, our department heads, our police, our public safety. There is a lot of work that goes into Music Fest, a lot of work that goes into setting it up. City staff and city employees work fairly nonstop over these past couple of weeks to get us ready. And we have a lot of employees that volunteer for overtime at Music Fest to keep our community safe, which is important. And I wanted to just publicly thank them as well. And then I have three administrative orders. First administrative order, I hereby reappoint William Fitzpatrick, 1136 Beverly Avenue, Bethlehem, PA 1808, of the Zoning Hearing Board. This appointment is effective through June 2028.
Administrative order for William Fitzpatrick, Zoning Hearing Board. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Thank you. I hereby reappoint Delia Marrero, 607 William Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18015, to the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission. This appointment is effective through April 2026.
Administrative order for Delia Marrero, Bethlehem Human Relations Commission. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. And finally, I hereby reappoint Karen Weidrich, 34 West Broad Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18018, to the Parking Authority. And this appointment is effective through January 2028. Discussion? And we'll call the roll.
Administrative order for Karen Weidrich, Parking Authority. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon. Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Certainly. Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Thank you. And then the last thing I would just say is on the agenda tonight, I know Ms. Bastias had talked about the zoning ordinance amendment that is on the agenda. Ms. Santoro and I had a chance a few months ago to go out, and they hosted us out there at the Camel's Hump. I thought we had named it after Ms. Bastias by now, but we went out there to take a look at a lot of things that they are doing there. And I just, I know that a couple of them are here as well, and I just want to thank them for a truly special community project that really is inclusive of our community, powered by volunteers. And I know she was speaking as it relates to that zoning ordinance amendment, but I did want to just pass along our thanks as well for all of the incredible work that goes on there as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Moving on to ordinances for final passage tonight, the clerk will read Bill 32-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 32-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
I have a quick question for Mr. Alcall, if that's possible. Mr. Alcall?
Mr. Alcall.
Hi, can I ask you a quick question about the street overlays?
Sure.
So in the material we received at the last meeting and the first reading, it mentioned West Market Street as one of the targeted spots?
Yes, a section West Market, yeah.
Do you have a rough estimate of where, of what section?
I believe in this particular instance, what we put before council is the cost-sharing agreement,
right,
with
UGI.
With the idea of them contributing money, then we will utilize that money on the streets that they impacted, that being one of them. I believe it's in the, don't quote me on this, I'll have to confirm.
Yeah.
I think it's between 3rd and 5th Avenue or something like that.
Okay, all right, thank you. I have, you know, there are folks in that neighborhood, my constituents, who are my neighbors also, who reach out to me, you know, about sort of when is this street gonna get repaved? And I try to explain the complex nature of how we work with UGI and the timing and everything, but when I saw West Market Street on there, I just thought I'd get a little more information, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Second Avenue, we got paved too, which led to increasing questions on whether or not Market was coming second, including me asking Mr. Alcohol, does this mean West Market is coming second? Obviously, we're putting a lot of money into Fairview Park there at 4th and Market, and it's one of the few streets where you can see UGI's work very clear when you look down the street. So it's one something that we're trying to. There's portions of it that UGI is going to help with, but we had this conversation a couple days ago as well from Ms. Kwiatek. So it is.
Well, no question that the folks on Spring Street are asking as well.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
When I walk out to put my recycling out, so I'm sure that'll be on there sometime soon as well. So thank you again.
Councilwoman Ramsey Smith.
I just have another question. First, I want to say thank you, Mr. Alcall, to you and your department, because I see you're really busy doing all the streets, even though you're making me late to work every day. But anyway, one of the major complaints I get, I know we talked about it at the last meeting, is Wyandotte, and I know part of that, or all of it, is the state, you know, through PennDOT, but I know we talked about holding off to after Music Fest. Do you have any idea, ballpark, when that street is going to be focused on? Because a lot of people are really asking about that area. Going like Wyandotte even to north on 378.
You're talking about the UGI project that was along Broadway and intersected with Wyandotte?
going up the mountain on
Wyandotte
to 378, like that seems to be the area that is
yeah,
really
I mean,
bad.
That is a state road, mm-hmm. and we don't control when it gets paved.
So the state
But we can certainly discuss that and pursue that with the state.
Yeah, that would be great if you would, if you could get some indication, because I know that seems to be the crux of the complaints that I'm getting from the people.
I know they have a project for 378, and it may extend all the way down and up over the mountain. I know they have that on their plans.
Okay, because I also get complaints from people who their cars are actually getting damaged by the extent of the potholes and the roads conditions. So, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? We'll call roll.
Ms. Quintek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Moving on to new ordinances. I'll ask the clerk to read Bill 33 of 2023.
Ordinance amending the zoning ordinance, Part 13 of the City of Bethlehem, Lehigh, Northampton Counties, Pennsylvania, adding provision for environmental education centers. Bill 33, 2023, is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Let's thank Ms. Stevens for coming out, not only tonight, but the last meeting, and to all the families, big and small, who had come out during our last meeting. That being said, we'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Moving on to resolutions this evening. The clerk will read Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes disposal of public records in the Office of the Health Bureau as set forth in Exhibit A. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Moving on to Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes disposal of public records in the Office of the Police Department as set forth in Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Service Electric Cable TV Incorporated to install equipment on city street light poles at the intersection of Main and West Broad Streets for the purpose of providing free Wi-Fi to the general public. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. I'll start with Councilwoman Ramsey Smith.
I think this is wonderful. I just had a question. I see it's the time frame is for a year. Do we have any indication once that year is over that there will be a continuation, or will Service Electric be looking at us paying a fee for the service?
The answer to the second question is no, but I'll let Mr. Alcall just kind of explain where this came from, and I'll add some comments as well.
And also, the other question is the area that's going to encompass, what area will be covered.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is initiated by Service Electric, and we do have a representative from Service Electric here tonight. It was mainly came about to provide free Wi-Fi on Main Street and on the leased areas that Music Fest utilizes during the fest. That's how this came about.
And what area will it cover, Jim, and what will happen after the year is over?
It'll automatically renew unless the city or Service Electric notifies to cancel.
And it will renew at no cost, as far as we know at this point?
That's correct. Great.
And this was also, and Mr. Spurk worked extensively on this as well, is that it obviously had to do with Music Fest, but it was also the idea that if it was going to go up for Music Fest, it doesn't necessarily need to It doesn't need to be removed after those 10 days. That was something Service Electric offered. We have not done anything like this before. So, Mr. Spurk, I believe that it's in the contract that if at some point it got to the point for whatever reason we didn't want to continue, we're able to end that deal as soon as we would want to. The download speeds, I believe, are going to be good for guests. But it is not a situation where the download speeds are enough to be able to provide people that are living in the neighborhood free internet. If you were going to stream things like that, but these were all questions that we had, because the idea is if somebody's willing to offer this, with all due respect to Service Electric, who obviously have their connection to Music Fest and so on and so forth, like, we're wondering what else is out there as far as the market. What else are we able to do throughout the city? Does it make sense to do an RFP? Does it make sense to do these different type of things? Which is why the contract is written the way that it is, because some of your questions, Councilman Cramsey Smith, are also ones that we had, is beyond the Music Fest is a little bit of an unknown. It obviously has the potential to be a positive, but we also wanted to just make sure, as far as the entirety of the city is concerned, that we have the ability to be able to get out of it, or try to go to them and have another conversation, or we may see more of this in the future. There may be other telecommunications companies out there that would like to do this as well. So these were all things that we talked about extensively, and Mr. Alcohol and Mr. Spurk talked about as well, to maintain our flexibility, but also appreciate and thank Service Electric for wanting to enter into this partnership.
Thank you. Thank you for your clarifications, because of course the first thing I saw was, and this is, no offense, because no one loves Music Fest more than I do, I kind of assumed this was connected to Music Fest and providing more robust Wi-Fi for visitors, but I thought, well, if you can do that with a couple of boxes on a couple of light posts downtown, why can't we do that on the south side on 3rd Street? Or at one of our housing authority locations like Pembroke and Marvine. So I would really welcome the expansion of this concept in the conversation. I thank Service Electric for being a great partner with Music Fest for all these years and for all the other things that you cover in the Valley. But that was really what I was wanting to learn more about, because I think it would be great if we had this kind of service in some other areas that perhaps we have less equity in terms of access to the internet. So, thank you.
And Ms. Kreitzak, we had similar comments, including just the idea. And one of my questions was about whether or not people living there were going to be able to get it, which obviously sounds okay. But why, in our mind, I'm asking rhetorically, is why would we necessarily want to assist people that are wealthier to get something free then, when we have those issues in other areas that don't have the connectivity? Which is something that's been on the forefront of our mind. But also all of your questions, similar to Councilman Cramsey Smith, are things that we're thinking about as we go forward. One of the things we've talked about before that Ms. Santor and I have worked on a lot is as far as increasing the amount of connectivity we have, especially within our housing authority, as we've talked about. So there's a lot of different things that I think we're going to look at that are going to come together as far as, Pennsylvania is still also rolling out their broadband plan. So, it's a little bit of a time in flux as we try to think about how we can expand that connectivity and do it in the most affordable way. But all of those questions that you had are the ones that we have been trying to make sure that we have the ability to answer, and also potentially create competition in the future if there's other people that want to do something similar as far as what they're willing to offer. We did not put out this RFP, we didn't do anything, so we obviously went through all of those conversations.
Dr. Amor?
I think in the beginning of your tenure we had some conversations, and my concerns reflect Ms. Quietek's, about the use of ARP funds to expand broadband equity. And I think part of what I guess I wanted to understand is, is the school district doing something right now, or are there plans? Because I would think that we would want to make sure that, especially in the South Side where children may not have as much access to Wi-Fi, that we're using whatever monies that we do have from ARP to set up the infrastructure. But if that's not going to be necessary because the school district is doing something like that, I just wanted to understand kind of the interplay there.
No, it's a great question. And one of the things that we're working on, Councilwoman Kwiatek knows this as well, is like, to us, the lowest hanging fruit is the Bethlehem Housing Authority, because they have all the addresses, they know who the people are. And when we researched in another project that Ms. Santoro took on with people in Ms. Collins' department, was trying to determine how many of the people that are living in the Bethlehem Housing Authority are currently taking advantage of the Federal Affordable Connectivity Program, and it's like somewhere in the teens. But yet, like 80% of the people have internet, which means that they're paying the full rate the same as we are, and that's just completely and utterly unacceptable to us. That is essentially like a free $35 sitting out there that obviously works out to over $400, almost $480 a year. So one of the things that Ms. Santoro and I have been working on with Ms. Kwiatek and the Housing Authority is how do we necessarily tackle that systemically? Can we put it on the bills? Can we necessarily do something that will be able to expand it to everybody? And one of the things that we had offered up early without committing anything is like a lot of those one-time capital costs, a lot of whatever it would take to get that up and running, would potentially be a great use for ARP funds. And we just have not gotten there in the conversations with the Housing Authority, which we continue to push. Ms. Cetullo has also been on top of this. But we looked at that as kind of the lowest hanging, easiest fruit. But we are also talking to the school district and just keeping like ultra aware of what the state's broadband plan is. We were on a virtual call with them a couple weeks ago and just trying to determine what the hole is and what's the best way necessarily to solve it. Like, this is a good example of where we look at it. It's like there's this great federal program that all of these different telecommunication companies have signed up for, that rather than us reinventing the wheel and trying to subsidize it ourselves, like this, we can't even get people to sign up for it. So that's the thing that we spent the most amount of time on. That's something that the school district also has talked about. The school district is great as providing the devices, but not necessarily the connectivity. So, you know, as things start to shake out, one of the things we're looking at is like, are you able to build essentially organic mesh networks around your schools? Are you allowed to do something there? But, you know, we're kind of waiting for that other stuff to fall out. But, you know, to us, the fact that every month goes on with those people paying such a full amount on the Housing Authority is unacceptable.
Thank you for that. And Mr. Service Electric, I hope you can take this back to your company. And this is a really great community project to spearhead with the city as well, to provide it to places where we don't have it and really need it.
Your comments will certainly be relayed back.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Ms. Leo?
I know we're off track on the music press thing, but I just wanted to thank the administration for never being scared to say the quiet part out loud. When it comes to this, the first thing I thought of is why are we gonna do something for people that can do it? And I know, like, I can hear the pushback in my head of like, well, why do we need to give people the ability to stream YouTube? Like, we did not all just live through the pandemic and see a whole bunch of kids and their education drop because they don't have access to Wi-Fi. Like, it's not at this day and age. It's the way that kids are connecting when they're forced to go to school at home online through no choice of their own. This isn't about online gaming. This is about keeping our greatest equalizer, access to quality education, accessible to everybody. So I know this is music best related, but you know, thanks for never backing down and staying quiet part of that.
Yeah, and I would say, as Ms. Kwiatek may self-proclaim herself as the biggest music fest fan, I think a lot of us share that, but Ms. Leone, this is obviously, you know, a more important topic, and I mean, this was one of the things that we included in We Build Bethlehem, and is something we're committed to. And when we talk about what type of plans we can come up with, as far as community, some we've talked about are ones that we're going to take on ourselves, or we should spend money on. Some are nonprofit projects that we support, and then some are trying to help people sign up for the programs and working with like the authorities. And you know, I would add to that, as Dr. Van Wert knows well, is I mean, when we're talking with the internet, you're talking about the difference between some people being able to see their doctor or not. And that is, as I've learned, that's very important on both sides, both for the patient and for the physicians, to be able to, you know, work as many hours in the manner that they can to keep the healthcare system going. So it's obviously, you know, one of the top priorities. And you know, I really love the questions and where everybody's heads at in council, because when we sat there, we said, you know, we feel this way, and we know people in city council are going to ask these same questions, and we need to have answers for them. So thank you.
On the opposite side of that, I'm definitely not the biggest fan of Music Fest. I don't like loud noises. I am a veteran who has PTSD, and the way my life is set up, I need access to be able to talk to my doctor online, because you still do good in a room with a doctor, says the person who's sitting in a room full of people. But like, these things are very, very important, and if partnerships through ArtsQuest and Service Electric are the gateway to these conversations that need to be had,
I'm here for it. So.
Yeah, and I would, last thing I would say is, you know, the solutions are always many, and they come in many places, but we just need to agree on what the problem is and set it as a priority. And I think that's one thing that council administration and our community and our school district are going to agree on.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? Ms. Kramer Smith?
I just wanted to add, since I work in a district, that I will say I'd like to thank both Service Electric and RCN, because during COVID, they offered free internet to students in need. And since then, I know my district, and I'm pretty sure Bethlehem, we provide free hotspots to families. The problem is we don't often know that they need it until the kids are failing or it's way after the fact. So it still is a really big issue. But on the plus side, I know both the internet providers have really helped a lot during COVID. But I also would say, please bring it back. That, you know, the problem is we won't know that families need it sometimes till it's too late. And if we can try to globally try to resolve this issue, it would really help, you know, children and families. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Allison, clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Flom?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Service Electric Cable TV Incorporated to install equipment on city street light poles at the intersection of Main and West Market Streets for the purpose of providing free Wi-Fi to the general public. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passed 6-0. Resolution 10.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Seven Sirens Brewing Company, LLC for 2023 Bethlehem Brewing Company, Bethlehem Brew Fest. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Creamsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. And our last resolution, 10-M.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Christmas City Spirits, several sub-permittees for Cider Fest. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Any new business from members of council tonight? Ms. Leon?
We have a Yasco Park mural unveiling tomorrow location at like 6 o'clock. I think we're going to cut there at like 5:45, but if you're out and about and you want to see Buzz Lightyear, come hang out with us. We also have a Donegan cleanup this Saturday from 10 to 12, and I wanted to talk about that for a minute because like these cleanups came about as a result of like a bunch of meetings with the community, and one of the things that was so important was, you know, I'm just going to read my comments. I can't do this off the cuff, so I'm sorry. But they also serve as volunteer hours and mentorship programs to students that might need the additional help. About a year ago, I learned about some issues that can arise with our students when they have to perform community service or pay a fine in result of something that was done like in school, broke a window or something. But these fines can disproportionately affect lower income families. There was a desire from the families for their students to, you know, learn their lesson, do what they have to do to kind of make things right. But these fines were oftentimes the difference between like making ends meet at the end of the day or not, and families shouldn't go hungry just because the kid broke a window. So a few community members got together to start working on whatever we can do to help. We called it Brockle's Bright Future. It wasn't anything official. I just like alliteration. We can't just call it like my idea. So it was something that we could do to catch up with our kids, the ones that were kind of getting off the track, and bring things back to the center before they were getting too far. We looked into things that were being done in Northampton County, and there wasn't anything at the time that we started having these discussions. But we wanted to do something to support the amazing work done by our community resource officers and our district magistrate, which were the people who first brought it to my attention and the attention of some other community members. So recently I had the opportunity to speak with our DA Houck and the leaders of an organization called Impact, which is an organization that is way, way more capable of doing what we wanted to do. They've been doing it for 20 years, and like, it's just, there's no need to reinvent the wheel when there's someone out there that's doing it well already. So I'm beyond grateful to the DA for doing this. This is truly like a transformative step in the right direction when we're talking about restorative justice in Northampton County. And I was just hoping if Chief Cott, if you can talk about Impact a little bit, or at least what your thoughts are on Impact and how the city would approach it.
Absolutely. So the Bethlehem Police Department is going to lead from the front. And this is a program that relies heavily on a balanced restorative justice principle. It's an alternative method to handling juvenile offenders that are first-time offenders that are committing summary or misdemeanor offenses. When I first spoke to the mayor about it, he was very optimistic and encouraged the police department to participate because it falls in line in the city's overall goal of providing the best services to all our community members. So we're extremely excited to be working with Northampton County District Attorney's Office and implementing this program. And I may be overly ambitious, but I want this program out this fall, 2023, so we can help the most amount of juveniles as possible.
I can't thank you guys enough for, like you said, leading from the front with this, especially when it comes to juveniles. 6 months, like, access to something like this where they can get involved with mentorship and correction of behavior while learning the lesson that they have to learn. Like, it's when you get them young like that, it could be the difference between someone being stuck in the system and never getting out of it, or someone that, you know, ends up becoming in law enforcement or a teacher or something. So, like, just, this is everything we were hoping to accomplish as just sort of a ragtag group of people that were trying their best, and in just such a, like, a better way that's going to have the result that it would have taken us years to ramp up to something. But this is incredible, and I just can't thank you guys enough for it.
Any other new business from members of council? I just wish everyone a safe music fest. Thank you again to the delegation that's here in town. We look forward to hanging out after the meeting a little bit if you want to discuss anything. This meeting is adjourned. Go home safely.
Thank you.